You would please turn to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 26. I want to continue our study on the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been studying the Gospel of Matthew for a good while, and especially here in chapter number 26. My, there's so many great nuggets to be found here in chapter number 26 of the Gospel of Matthew. Now, over the past couple of weeks, we talked about Jesus and the Passover, and of course, Him being our Passover lamb, and how that He came to be that lamb again and shed His blood that you and I could know Him today. And then last week we talked about Jesus and His prayer, and we find three different times there, of course, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, how that Jesus prayed, and certainly not only in the Gospel of Matthew, but also there we talked about somewhat in the Gospel of John, how that prayer of intercession, and of course, all that was taking place here as Jesus was now preparing Himself and preparing His disciples for that time to come when He was going to certainly go to the cross and lay down His life. And so that brings us to today's text here in Matthew chapter number 26. I want to pick up our reading in verse number 46 and read down through the verse 56. There's two different thoughts that the Lord's give me from these particular verses. I'm not going to try to preach both of them this morning, so don't want anybody to get excited. But I want to take my first thought here this morning in verses 46, maybe down through verse number 50 this morning. But I do want to read all 10 verses this morning. And again, we've talked about Jesus and the Passover, Jesus and His prayer. But I want to talk about Jesus the prisoner. Jesus the prisoner from these particular verses here this morning. And I want you to think about that as we read the text now and give you the thoughts that the Lord's placed upon our heart for this service. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand or invite you to stand one more time this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, if you're not, that's okay. Matthew 26, verse 46, Jesus Himself tells His disciples, of course, here after praying, after the third time of praying and a time of rest, we find in verse number 46 that Jesus says, "Rise, let us be going. Behold, He is at hand that doth betray Me." And while He yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed Him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast." And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. I want you to notice in verse number 50, "And Jesus said unto him, Friend." Wow. I believe it's one of the great statements of the Bible. "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" And then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And then starting in verse number 51, I see another thought. And again, I'm just going to read these verses and we'll talk about these later. But he said, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In the same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves, for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple. You laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then notice the latter part of verse 56. "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we bow in Your presence again today, Lord, as humble as we know how to come. And Lord, we thank You for another day on this side of eternity. Thank You for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You for this Lord's Day that, Father, we could gather in Your house with Your people and worship You in spirit and truth. Thank You for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the songs of worship here this morning. Thank you for the children. And Lord, just thank you again for all that you've done for us, Lord, this day and throughout life. Lord, how good it is today, Father, to know that it is well with our soul. Now, Lord, as we've come to this text, I pray now that, Father, you would touch me. I pray that you would anoint me afresh and anew. I pray you give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. I pray this morning that you would give us something from the Word of God that would encourage us and challenge us and Lord, maybe even convict us here this morning. I pray most of all, if there's one here today, Lord, that does not know you in a free pardon of sin, I pray today would be the day, Lord, they would come and call upon you, maybe one cold and indifferent. Lord, whatever the need, Lord, I pray that you'd help us here today. I pray you'd help us to maybe better understand, Lord, all that you are going through, Lord, at this particular time, Lord, in taking our place. I do want to tell you today, I love you. I thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, I'm going to praise you this morning for what you're going to do. Bless our time together now around the Word of God. And Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, you may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. I want us to consider from these particular verses this morning, as I said, especially verses 46 down through verse number 50, Jesus the prisoner. Now, as we have come to the time of Jesus' arrest, we see the circumstances changing, certainly concerning the Savior, but we do not see him changing. I'm glad we're serving one this morning that does not change. To think about Jesus and all the good things now that he had already done, the words of hope and salvation that he had shared, yet we see him being betrayed and arrested, becoming a prisoner, if you will, so that you and I could be set free. Let us consider the actions of his arrest and remember that he done everything that he done, certainly going through all that he went through. He done all of that for somebody like me. And he done that for somebody like you. For the Bible again teaches us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us needs a Savior here today. You say, well, preacher, I've not been that bad and I've not done that much. Well, friend, you're still a sinner in need of a Savior. And I pray that as we have been studying his life and his ministry, that all of us could get a better grasp and a greater appreciation for everything that he went through in taking our place. We see Jesus again, the prisoner. He became a prisoner so that you and I could be set free. Thank God this morning. Aren't you glad that somebody was willing to take your place? I don't know about you, but I rejoice in that fact this morning that Jesus himself was willing to take my place, was willing to become a prisoner so that I and you and the all the world, all those that would call upon him could be set free and have a relationship with the true and the living God. I've got about three things that I want to share with you this morning from these verses of Scripture. First of all, I want you to notice in Jesus the prisoner, number one, I want you to notice the preparation that's taking place in our text today to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about, first of all, in the latter part of verse number 7, in the preparation. Now, we talked about in the first part of chapter number 26 the plot of the enemy and how they were already plotting, and of course, this was throughout a great deal of the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. They were wanting to do away with him. They did not like him. They did not like his teaching. They did not like his preaching. The religious leaders, they wanted to get rid of. And it's no different today. Amen. It's no different today. Most people don't really want to hear preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, we need preaching. We need Bible preaching. We need gospel preaching. Thank God Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about the latest politics of the hour. It's not about all the trouble that's going on in the world. It's about lifting up the bloodstained banner of Calvary, that men, women, boys, and girls might come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't religion that saved me. It wasn't denomination that saved me. Thank God, I tell you what, it wasn't the preacher that saved me. It wasn't the priest that saved me. It wasn't the deacons that saved me. It wasn't the Sunday school teachers that saved me. Thank God, there's only one today that could take me out of the place that I was in. Hallelujah, the muck and the mire of sin, and set my feet on a solid rock. And His name is Jesus this morning. Thank God, I'm glad He's my Redeemer. I'm glad He's my Savior. I'm glad He's my Lord. I'm glad He's the one. I'm glad He's my rock. Thank God this morning. Hallelujah, church. We ought to thank God He was willing to take our place. Thank God this morning. But we see Jesus doing nothing wrong. Do you ever feel like that you've done nothing wrong, but yet it seems like that the persecution comes or the trouble comes and you get blamed for something you didn't do? And how does that make you feel? Huh? I don't know about you, but I don't like it. Huh? I don't like it. Well, think about Jesus. He'd done nothing wrong. Everything that He had done was good. But yet, we see the preparation. Now, we know it had to be that way. We know that, of course, He had to go to the cross, and there was a plan. And see, these people didn't even realize that they were being agents of what God was going to accomplish. Isn't that amazing? But I want you to think about the preparation for His arrest. I want you to think about, first of all, in that preparation to arrest Jesus, I see the motivators. The motivators in the latter part of verse number 47. Notice again it says, from the chief priests and elders of the people. The very ones that ought to have been praising Him is the ones that are preparing to kill Him. And so we see the motivators here of the arrest, if you will, or the preparation to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief priests, the religious crowds. Not only do I see the motivators in the preparation, I see the main character. Who's the main character in the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's none other than Judas, and we've talked about him. And we see that certainly how Satan took Judas. Now, we know that Jesus, and I find it interesting when we see Him mentioned so many times in the Scriptures, He says that He was one of the 12. He was one of the 12. He was one of those that was right there when Jesus was healing and teaching and preaching and saw miracles. But yet, He was the main character when it comes to the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say this, the devil will find anybody he can, and the devil will try to use anybody he can to come against us. See, the devil wanted Jesus done away with. Not only did the religious crowd want Him done away with, but the devil wanted to be done away with. I want you to keep that thought in your mind and for just a few moments this morning. Trying to do away with the Son of God. You think about that. Now, I see this morning again, in this preparation to arrest Him, I see the motivators, I see the main character, Judas being one of the 12. In other words, what we would consider today, or what we would think in our own minds, one of the least likely candidates. See, as I've said before, Jesus chose Judas, but Judas never chose Jesus. See, that's what you got to understand. And this is what I want to say about that this morning. You can sit in the church pew. You can have your name on the church roll. But that doesn't mean that you're right with God. Now, if you're right with God, you ought to be sitting on a church pew. You ought to have your name on the church roll. And you ought to be active in that church. But that doesn't mean you're saved. You say, well, preacher, I try to do the best I can. You can't make it like that. You have to have Christ in your heart. There has to be a personal relationship. There has to be a time of repentance and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Judas walked with Him for approximately 3 and 3.5 years. But yet he's the main character when it comes time to prepare to arrest Him. I wonder today, am I doing more to promote Him, or that being the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I being a little bit like Judas and maybe not believing Him and following Him? Notice, if you will, this morning, the preparation, the motivators, and I've got to move quickly, and not only the motivators and the main character, but then notice the multitude. Notice the multitude. Now, I thought about this as I was studying. And, of course, as you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will find that they all give us a little bit different account of this preparation to arrest the Lord Jesus. But it gives us here the multitude in this preparation. I want you to think about this. They think that they are doing what is right. I believe that, preacher. They think for some reason that they are doing what is right. I'm afraid there are a lot of people today that some way in their own way of thinking, they think that they're trying to do what is right. But here's the problem with that. If it does not line up with the Word of God, then we have problems with it being right. But this multitude, they, along with the main character and the motivators, are again coming together for the preparation of the arrest of the Savior. But then there's one more thing that I want to share about the preparation for the arrest. I want you to think about the misconception. The misconception that Judas, the motivators, the chief priests, and the elders of the people, and the multitude, I want you to think about the misconception that they have. They come to arrest Jesus with swords and staves. One man, a multitude, comes to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. The only time that we find in Scripture that Jesus even got upset is when they were there in the temple. I'm not saying He didn't get upset at other times. I'm just saying from the Scriptures we find that He got upset there in the temple because of the money changers and the way that things were taking place in the temple. Could I say when things in the house of God are not running right, thank God somebody ought to get upset. Hallelujah. But think about now the misconception that they can somehow with swords and staves that they can defeat, if you will, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but my God's a whole lot bigger than that. Hallelujah. I want you to think about it this night, this morning, church. I'm glad I'm serving one today, thank God, that cannot and will not never, ever be defeated. Why? Because, thank God, He's the one with all power. He's the one with all knowledge. Hallelujah today. Thank God. Think about the misconception that they had that they could defeat and capture. And, of course, He surrenders Himself and submits Himself. But thank God, they think that they can defeat Him. Listen, the world thinks they can defeat Him. They think they can do away with Him. But hallelujah, I'm glad I'm looking to the eternal God, the eternal Son of God, the one, thank God, hallelujah, was there before the earth was ever spoken into existence. The one, thank God, that sits at the right hand of the throne of God this morning to make intercession for you and me. I'm glad He's the true and the living God this morning. There was a misconception. John said it like this. He spoke and the whole crowd fell backwards. Jesus Himself makes the statement in the text that I read it to you here. Could I not pray to my Father and Him send the 12 legions of angels? They had the misconception that they were going to defeat the Son of God. Now, you may have the misconception today that you're going to get by with your sin. You may have the misconception today that you can do it your way and God still be pleased with you. It is a misconception. I want you to know that. Thank God He loves us and I truly believe today that God wants the very best for each and every one of us. What is God's very best for us today? It's to know His Son, to follow His Son, to believe His Son, to trust His Son, thank God, and to give our life, hallelujah, today, serving His Son. I'm telling you today, don't get a misconception this morning. Thank God that you can do your own way and go your own way. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm afraid today a lot of people have religion, but yet there's no relationship. There's a great misconception. There's a great misconception today that everything somehow or another is going to be all right. Well, the only thing, all the way everything's going to be all right is for those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and not tried to rebel against Him. So I say, first of all, and I've got to move on this morning, but again, the misconception coming with swords and staves. They've already said God cannot or will not be defeated. Jesus surrendered Himself to this multitude. They didn't take Him. He surrendered it. I like the book of Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 3. The Bible says the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Verse 6 of that same chapter, Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, have dashed in pieces the enemy. Hey, God can just speak and defeat the enemy. My other thought in these particular verses is this morning, what will you do? How will you react when the enemy attacks? I'll talk about that later. But I see, first of all, the preparation to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. Done nothing wrong. Everything He'd done had been good. Helped so many people. Fed the multitudes. Raised the dead. Touched the blind. But yet, they wanted Him gone. That's the way that most of the world is. They just want Him gone. Hey, and they want them that follow Him gone too. That's all right. That's going to happen one day. We're going to let them have it. We've been studying the book of the Revelation on Wednesday night. Hey, God's going to let them have it, but they ain't going to like it when they get it. We see the preparation for His arrest. Secondly, I got to move on. Notice the plot fulfilled. The plot fulfilled. Now he that betrayed Him gave them a sign, saying, Whosoever I shall kiss, that same is He. Hold Him fast. Even poor old Judas. As much as he'd been with Jesus, and much power that he'd seen that Jesus had. I'll tell you what, when you let the devil take over, you better be careful. See, we find a man in Judas that went too far. And I'll say more about that. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed Him. We have the preparation for His arrest. Now we have the plot fulfilled. Number one, we find in that plot, we find the sign. In verse 48, when Judas says, Whomsoever I shall kiss. In the Jewish culture, a kiss on the cheek was a common greeting. It was a sign of deep respect, of honor, and brotherly love. And there are several scripture texts that you can go to. Jesus Himself makes reference to it in Luke 7 and verse 45, and also in the book of Romans 16 and 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, we don't go around kissing one another on the cheek. Not our culture. But that was the Jewish culture. We do it with a handshake or a little hug. We go around kissing on one another, and people are going to be saying all kinds of things, I'm sure. Brother Gwen, I love you. Brother Gwen, I respect you as a man of God, but I'd just rather stick to a handshake. Amen? Because that's our culture. But I want you to understand the Jewish culture was a show of affection, that was a show of appreciation, that was a show of honor. And old Judas, he says, "Now whomsoever I kiss is a man that you need to get." Him being one of the 12. Get a hold of that. That's hard to grasp. I don't know about you, but that's hard to grasp for me. Really, Judas? You've given yourself over to the devil that bad? He sure did. Jesus called him the son of perdition. Notice, the plot is fulfilled. Not only do we see a sign, but then I see the sin. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean the sin?" Well, number one, I see his greeting. And you see that in verse number 49. Number one, in the greeting, he says, "Hail." That greeting is to be cheerful. It means, the word "hail" means to be cheerful, to be happy. It also can mean to give someone Godspeed. In other words, he's deceptive the whole way. Hey, watch out for them people. Just a little word of warning here. Watch out for them people. It's always buttering the bread. Remember, they've got a knife. You say, "Preacher, it's not anything but a butter knife." You don't see the real knife. Notice. I see the sin committed. Number one, I see him in his greeting. Oh, just as happy and cheerful. Hey, Jesus knows why he's there. Understand, Jesus knows Judas better than Judas knows himself. Just like he knows me better than I know myself. And he knows you better than you know yourself. But he loves us anyway. I'm telling you what, I'm amazed at that. But I see Judas's sin. Number one, I see his greeting. Number two, not only do I see his greeting as hell, but I want you to see something else this morning. I see his recognition. He calls him master, which is to mean my master or rabbi. And to do it as an official. It was as an official title of honor. And see, Judas was not there to honor him, but to betray him. I wonder today, did we come to honor him? Huh? Not only today, but each and every day of my life, do I live my life in such a manner to honor him? Is he really my master and my Lord? If he is, I need to honor him. See, Judas is doing right the opposite. Why? Because it's a plot. It's deceptive. Hey, be careful. People are deceptive. And the devil's got all kinds of people out there that will do anything they can to deceive you. Remember, if it's not of God, leave it alone. But not only does he give them a sign in the plot fulfilled, I see the sin not only in the greeting, but in the recognition. And then thirdly this morning, I see it in his rejection. This is Judas's last chance. You say, "Preacher, why would you say that?" Somebody made a statement like this, and I'll give it to you this morning, and you can do with it what you will. But in his rejection, he kissed him. As I said, that's supposed to be an act of affection, an act of honor, when it was actually an act of deception and betrayal. Somebody said this: Judas kissed heaven's door and died and went to hell. Now, I realize the Bible says he repented unto himself. After the deed's been done, he runs back and throws the money down and goes out and hangs himself. He's sorry he got caught up with. A lot of people get sorry they get caught up with.
but they don't ever really repent and get right with God. Do you understand something? There'll be a day, if you're here without Christ, there'll be a day that you get your last opportunity. Preacher, you're just trying to scare me. No, I'm just trying to be honest with you. There'll be a day that you get your last opportunity to get right with God. Because God does love us. And God wants to save us and redeem us more than we want to be saved ourselves. But He won't make you. If Judas could walk with Him for approximately three or 3.5 years and see all that He... Oh, preacher, if I could just see more, if I could just understand more, that's not faith. See, God's not asking you to see more. God's not asking you to understand more. God's just asking you to believe Him, to trust Him. See, faith is, as I've said many times, is very simple. It's taking God at His word. That's what faith is. Judas was a part of so many wonderful things that Jesus done. Matter of fact, when we talked about Mary's passion in this chapter, I believe he's the very one that got upset. Why, we could have took this and spent it on the poor. See, Judas ultimately rejects the Lord Jesus Christ to what he thinks is going to be to his own benefit, but it's to his own demise. Understand that if you reject Jesus, it's to your own demise. There'll come a time when many people will have their last opportunity. What will you do with it? I see the preparation for his arrest. I see the plot fulfilled. Let me say this about Judas, and I'll move on to my last point. I believe Judas come to the place, to the point of no return. God does have some deadlines, and I talked about that some on Wednesday night. Out of the book of the Revelation, God does have some deadlines. Don't cross that deadline. I believe Judas Iscariot crosses that deadline. He kissed heaven's door and died and went to hell. Had every opportunity. But the third thing that I want you to see this morning from this text is the compassion that Jesus showed. The compassion that Jesus showed. Look in verse 50. Judas, knowing the motivators, knowing the main character, knowing the multitude, knowing their misconception, I still see his compassion. Is that not amazing? Now, if I'm Jesus at this point, I'm ready to do away with them. I'm talking about in my way of thinking. Now, I know some of you, sweet little innocent people, would never think that way. Well, I want to come back and talk about this when you're under attack. How do you react? I'm going to dig into that a little deeper. Because we find that Peter, when he was attacked or when Jesus was attacked, we see how he reacts. Now, I understand we're not Jesus, but we are to be an example of Jesus. And when you get falsely accused and they're coming to arrest you, you're going to be fighting tooth and nail. I don't know about you, but I am. But Jesus, knowing all of that, I see his compassion. I'm amazed by that. I don't know why I should be, because for God so loved the world, God is love. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why? Because he loved us. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. I mean, time and time again, we're reminded that we have a God this morning that loves us. But I want to give you a couple of things about the compassion that he showed. Number one, I see Jesus' reaction in verse 50. And Jesus said unto him, friend. I mean, somebody betrays you. Somebody betrays me. And we're going to look at him and say, friend? Wow. You're probably a little closer to God this morning than I am, man. Let's just be honest. But I also realize again today we're not Jesus. But we are to be an example of Him. And I believe the more that we'll grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and become more like Him and less like us, we can have that same kind of compassion. See, I'm afraid that's one of the things we're lacking in our churches today is compassion. I'm afraid that's one of the things that we're lacking today towards the sinner is compassion. They don't need me to tell them where they're at. They need for me to tell them where they can get to. But I see his compassion. Notice his reaction, friend. The word friend, now as you study in the New Testament, you'll find there's a couple of three different Greek words that we get friend from. This particular word friend here, it means a comrade. It means a companion who shares one's activities. And one of the other words that we get translated from the word friend is filio, which has a little more to do with affection and love. But yet Jesus, in his betrayal, with his compassion, was able to look at Judas and call him friend. And we can't even get along sometimes. Too many churches are known more in this day and hour, unfortunately, for their fighting rather than their compassion. God help us. God is not pleased with that. Hey, we ought to be able to get along together. We ought to be able to love one another. We're going to heaven together if you're saved. Might as well enjoy the trip while we're going. But notice Jesus' compassion. Even under false accusations, under the arrest, under the betrayal. I see his reaction. Not only do I see his reaction, but I see his response. Now, hey, this is Judas's last chance. I believe it's his last chance. Jesus looks at Judas and says, what you come for? Now, Judas is having to look the Lord Jesus Christ dead in the eyeball. Huh? Oh, yeah. And Jesus asked him a question. What you here for? In our modern day way of talking, what are you here for? I truly believe at this point Judas could have got right with God. Hey, the multitude's already there to get him. They're going to get him. I wonder if pride stepped in. Well, preacher, I hadn't even thought about it until I stand right here and God's dealing with my heart about it. I wonder if pride stepped in. Jesus is looking at him. Judas, why are you here? Why are you here? Friend, why are you here? See, Jesus knew his heart. And Jesus wanted to change his heart. I wonder if pride got in the way. I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid pride gets in a lot of people's way. Friend, why are you here? You know, maybe the Holy Spirit of God is asking us the same question. Friend, why are you here? Are you here to honor me? Are you here to worship me? Are you here to receive me? Are you here to follow me? Or are you here to rebel against me and reject me? Now remember, he's doing it all for you and he's doing it all for me. I see Jesus' reaction. I see his response. Wherefore art thou come? Why are you here? Why are you here this morning? Well, number one, God allowed you to be here. You couldn't have been here without Him. But why are you really here? Do we come to worship Him? Do we come to hear from heaven? Do we come to get some things adjusted in our life sometimes? God wants to do that. Why? Because He loves us. And my last point's this, and I'm done. In His compassion, I see not only Jesus' reaction, but I see His response, but then I see a reminder to each and every one of us here today. Jesus loves us and gives us opportunity to do the right thing. I still believe up to this point Judas has the opportunity to do the right thing. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took Him. But they couldn't have took Him if Jesus hadn't surrendered to them. Jesus, the prisoner. We usually don't think of Him as a prisoner, but that's exactly what He became, so that you and I could be set free. Even old Judas himself, friend, why are you here? And Judas was there for one reason, and that was to betray Him. You have opportunity today, friend. What will you do with it? If you're here without Christ, why have you come? Today you can leave with the greatest gift that you could ever receive. That's the gift of salvation. As Christians today, why have we come? I hope we've come to honor Him, to worship Him, and to be motivated to be more like Him. Hey, there's plenty motivated the opposite direction to go against Him. I pray that we'd be always for Him. Jesus, the prisoner. Let's stand to our feet all over the building, Brother Scott, to get us a song. Father, we sure do love You today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the Word of God today. Lord, thank You for the privilege to stand in this place one more time and try to proclaim the truths of the Word of God. It's not about me today. It's not about anybody else but You. And Lord, today as I know these are simple thoughts, but Lord, I pray that You take these simple thoughts and I pray that You'd help each of us today to consider, number one, what You are willing to do and to become a prisoner so that we could be set free. And then number two today, help us to consider, Lord, our responsibility, Father, to follow You and to be an example of You. And I really want us to consider, how do we react when we're under attack? I pray today, Lord, that You'd help each of us that are saved to be more determined to follow You and be that, Lord, that You'd be pleased with. And Lord, help us to take the opportunities that You give us and take those opportunities and fulfill them to the best of our ability with Your help. Lord, how sad it was to see in our Scriptures today that how Judas walked up to You and kissed You on the cheek and betrayed You, rejected You. I pray today, if there be anybody in this building, Lord, that's never truly been saved, I pray right now that the good Holy Ghost of God would convict them and draw them. And Lord, this very day, they would come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to tell You that we love You. Thank You for loving us. I commit the invitation to Your hands. You do what I cannot do. Help us to be obedient. Help us to be submissive. And it's in Christ's name we do praise. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.